Shalom Chaverim, that's Hebrew for hello, friends. And Shabbat Shalom, that's Hebrew for Sabbath peace. This is Ethel Chadwick. Welcome to Bagels and Blessings. So guess what's going on today? I have decided to re-air an interview that I did with Randy Katz. I don't know, maybe 7 or 8 years ago. I've lost track of time. Randy's a nice Jewish boy. He lives locally in the Rochester area, and he's going to share how he came to know Yeshua as his Messiah. And I've got some great music for you, too. So stay with me, and I'll be right back. Shabbat, Shabbat, Shalom. Am Yisrael, Am Yisrael, Am Yisrael, Chai. 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 Od Avinu Chai, Od Avinu Chai, Od Avinu, Od Avinu, Od Avinu Chai. That is the wonderful voice of Jonathan Sattel. Well, my friends, did you know that Bagels and Blessings is a ministry of Congregation Shema Yisrael? What do you mean you've never visited? What are you waiting for? It is the most exciting place on the planet. Well, almost. At Shema Yisrael, you'll see Jews and Gentiles worshiping the Lord side by side, one in Messiah. You'll hear Israeli music similar to what you're hearing on the air right now. You'll see people dancing, Davidic or Israeli folk dancing, and you'll hear familiar prayers like the Shema, the Ve'ahavta. It's so Jewish, but you don't have to be Jewish to go there. Come fellowship with us every Saturday morning at 10 o'clock. We're at 1326 North Winton Road in Irondequoit. And while you're there, check out the Fig Tree Messianic Bookstore and Gift Shop. It is open every Saturday right after services and also on Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays from 12 to 5. The Fig Tree is where you want to go for music, shofars, cards, jewelry, books about sharing Messiah, books about the Jewish holidays, and you know, Mother's Day is coming and you need a nice gift, you want to go to the Fig Tree Bookstore, I'm just saying. And if you're in the Lockport, Medina, or Buffalo area, please visit Congregation Brith Hadashah. They are at 50 Alberta Drive in Amherst in their beautiful facility. They've had it for about 2 years now. Their services are every Saturday at 10:30 a.m. Tell them Ethel sent you. And we'll let Jonathan Sattel finish out the song. Shalom, 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 Yerushalayim. Shabbat shalom, Shabbat shalom, Shabbat, 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 Shabbat shalom. Shabbat shalom, Shabbat shalom, Shabbat, 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 Shabbat shalom.
Yes, 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 indeed, Shabbat Shalom. And he also reminds us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Again, that was Jonathan Sattel. Well, you might have heard me mention on the air that Corey Bell had a little bit of a situation. A truck just kind of went plowing into her house, totally destroying her kitchen, and her house is uninhabitable. Praise the Lord, no one was hurt. And her husband even put up a funny sign on the boards that are now boarding up the hole, and it says something about the Bell drive-through window. Anyway, next we've got a song. They're renting a house right now, and her attitude is just wonderful. They're just praising the Lord that everyone is healthy and no one was hurt. Alrighty, next we've got a song, Shalom, from their CD Proclamation. Corey Bell with Lev Shalom. Shalom!
blessing of shalom. Shalom, shalom, sha, 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 shalom. This blessing unto you, special kind of peace, like the kind you might have heard about. There might be even more, but in the presence
Shalom! Well, a couple of weeks ago, I introduced some new songs to you. Paul Wilbur, we all love him, don't we? He has a new CD out called Forever Good. Come on, put your hands together. Get those feet dancing. King of Glory!
Shout unto the Lord. Lift up your gates, be lifted up, and let the King of glory come. Lift up your heads, you ancient doors. Lift up a shout.
Oh, you are Lord of us.
was that King of Glory? I think we know the answer to that. Again, that was Paul Wilbur. The CD is called Forever Good. Yeah. And you know what? I bet you were dancing all around and jumping up and down, and you probably heard some snap, crackle, and pop in your hip and your knees. And never fear, go visit Odell Chiropractic.
Your back is a delicate matter. Everyday things can affect it.
This is the last time I'm picking your toys up off the floor. Oh, oh, oh boy, it just went out.
Major injuries can leave you in bed for days.
Look out!
It's called vertebral subluxation. It's what happens when your back is thrown out of its correct alignment. It causes major pains and in time may damage internal functions. That's why the first time you visit Odell Family Chiropractic, they will determine if x-rays of your spine are needed to pinpoint the exact problem. If they find that they can help you, they'll develop a care plan to allow the spine to achieve the correct position and strengthen it so that it will want to stay strong. They'll prove it to you. During your care with them, they'll show you x-rays of the progression your spine is making while moving into its correct alignment. Visit today to receive a free preventative health evaluation. Call 671-9210. That's 671-9210. Say goodbye to back pain permanently.
So you know how you say Jesus in Hebrew? It's Yeshua. Here's Becca Shea.
And you're listening to Bagels and Blessings.
Aw, she's a sweetheart, and she loves the Lord with all her heart. Thank you so much for listening to Bagels and Blessings. I am very, very thankful for all y'all that are helping to keep this program on the air. I'm especially thankful for my sponsors. I want to thank Excellent Air Heating and Cooling. They are a family-owned and operated business. They love the Lord. They will give you a really good deal. And I think it's almost time for air conditioning. I'm just saying, I think it's time very soon now for air conditioning. Give them a call today. Excellent Air Heating and Cooling, 889-7840. That's 889-7840. They're wonderful. Tell them that Ethel sent you, okay? Such a deal. And right now, here's Steve McConnell. Chai Hashem, the Lord lives. If you've been longing for some Eastern European delicacies, wonderful meals, well, have I got a deal for you. Europa Cafe at 1694 Penfield Road in Penfield. It's open from Tuesday to Sunday from 8 to 3. You can have breakfast or lunch there. Delicious paninis, crepes, cabbage rolls, blintzes, all kinds of Eastern European desserts and pastries. Europa Cafe. And right next door is the Europa Deli, open 7 days a week, Monday, Tuesdays, and Saturdays from 10 to 6, Wednesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays from 10 to 8, and Sundays from 10 to 4. At the Europa Deli, you can have all kinds of Eastern European specials, pierogies, herring, all kinds of fish, cold cuts,
delicious food. So that's Europa Cafe and Deli, 1694 Penfield Road. Come on in and you will be so glad you did.
So, you know, if you look at Isaiah 53, you will see the story of a suffering servant who, you know, by his stripes you were healed, and it just reminds you so much of Yeshua. I want you to really listen to this and open up your Bible to Isaiah 53. This is Jonathan Sattel again. You'll love it.
Who has believed our report? And to whom is shown the arm of the Lord? He grew up before him like a tender shoot, a root out of dry ground. There was nothing attractive to draw us to him. He was despised and we did not care. Like sheep, we have all gone astray. Of us has turned to his own way. He was oppressed and afflicted, but did not say a word. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, like a sheep that before its shearers is dumb, so he bridled his own
By your stripes, Lord, we are healed. We just claim the blood of Yeshua right now. If anybody listening to Bagels and Blessings needs healing, call upon the name of the Lord. And as you look at Isaiah 53, that last line, by your stripes, we are healed. Hallelujah. Well, this is Ethel Chadwick. You're listening to Bagels and Blessings. Stay tuned for an exciting interview that I did with Randy Katz, oh, many years ago. You're going to love it right now. Are you listening? Here now, here's Israel's Hope.
Hear now, Jacob, my servant. Hear now, O Israel. It was I who made you.
formed you in the womb.
Oh, Jerusalem, I've raised you from your tomb. And now, spirit on your dry ground, and the Lord, the Holy One, the Messiah, your King. And now,
hear now, Jacob, my servant, hear now, O Israel, hear now.
People are always telling me that my hair is adorable. Where do you get your hair done? They always ask. I go to Jardé's Hair Salon. It's located at 2433 Lyle Road in Rochester. Their phone number is 585-429-6623. Enjoy a session that's all about you in a relaxing, rejuvenating environment at Jardé's Hair Salon. Their professional staff will always aim to please, and they will ensure that your experience is a memorable event. Be sure to give them a call today. That's Jardé's Hair Salon and Spa, 429-6623. They are your hair color specialists, and they provide facial waxing and men, women's, and children's hair cutting, hair coloring, highlighting, permanence, and nails. Jardé's Hair Salon. You'll be so glad you checked them out.
Shalom, Joel Chernoff here for the Restoration of Israel Minute. Did you know that God promised in Genesis 22:18 that through Israel, all of the nations would be blessed? Electricity arcs over a still body. Zap! He's alive! In 1953, harnessing electricity for therapeutic purposes was no longer considered science fiction when Jewish cardiologist Paul Zoll saved three lives with his invention, the cardiac defibrillator. Today, his invention is readily accessible in malls and airports, has saved millions of lives, and continues to be a blessing to the whole world. This is Joel Chernoff for the Restoration of Israel Minute. Shalom.
Today, over 40% of Israelis live in poverty. We have an opportunity to return the blessing God has given us through Israel by becoming a part of God's prophesied restoration of Israel. To learn more, go to roiminute.com. That's roiminute.com.
Bagels and Blessings is a ministry of Shammai Yisrael Messianic Congregation. Your tax-deductible contributions will help keep this program on the air. Make checks out to Shammai Yisrael, that's S-H-E-M-A-Y-I-S-R-A-E-L. And please put Bagels and Blessings on the memo portion of your check. Send your contributions to Bagels and Blessings, Post Office Box 192, Scottsville, New York, 14546-0192. And come and experience Messianic worship in person Saturday mornings at 10 a.m. Shammai Yisrael is located at 1326 North Winton Road, about a half mile south of Empire Boulevard.
Come on, baby, I need bagels.
Gimme bagels tonight.
All right, believe it or not, I asked this question 2 weeks ago and nobody got it. I'm going to give you another chance. The number is 222-2990. True or false? Love your neighbor as yourself is one of the Ten Commandments. 222-2990. Love your neighbor as yourself is one of the Ten Commandments. True or false? Call now. 222-2990.
Bagels tonight. 4 8 days I've been bagel free. All that matzah is getting to me. No bread or leaven. They're sure in heaven. Oh, little bagels, what I'm waiting for. Give me lots of my garlic.
Call now, 222-2990. Come on now. Is this one of the Ten Commandments? Love your neighbor as yourself. Is that one of the Ten Commandments? True or false? 222-2990. Call now. Okay, that was by the Schlepps. Now, you know the funny thing about that song? You know what it's really about? Well, you know, we've just come through Passover. And during Passover, we don't eat anything that has leavening in it. And the songwriter, they're really singing about the fact that they can't have bagels because it's Passover. Well, Passover is over, and I had my first bagel in a whole week today, and it was good. You can have bagels, too. We're not going to have time for you to go on the air if you know the answer to the question. I do expect the phones to ring. I'm telling you, you have to call 222-2990. That was such an easy question. You can just say true or false, and you don't even have to know what the question was, because right now, here's my interview with Randy Katz. All right, folks, what you've been waiting for. I'm here live in the studio with Randy Katz. Shalom, Randy. Welcome to Bagels and Blessings.
Ethel, where am I?
Heaven. I'm in heaven.
Well, Randy, it might feel like heaven, but actually, you're sitting here in the studio here of 980 AM.
WDCX Radio.
I can see where you would be confused. You're here with two beautiful women, and you know, it's a nice day, but it's not heaven. It's just Bagels and Blessings.
Oh, well, maybe next time.
But you know, I know how to get there. You know, if you believe with all your heart that Yeshua is the Messiah, that is how you get to heaven. But we're going to talk about that. So, Randy, you're a nice Jewish boy. Did you grow up in a traditional Jewish home?
I did. We were not Orthodox, but we were definitely ethnic, very strong identity. I had my bar mitzvah. In fact, I had it in Jerusalem back in 1964.
Wow, that's not really traditional. I mean, not that many families can do that.
We were the first one to actually have the ceremony there in my hometown, Middletown, New York. Other people, I think, had gone, but you know, after the ceremony. But we had the actual ceremony in a synagogue there. It was still a divided city. You couldn't go to the Wailing Wall. So we had the ceremony at a small synagogue, which is still there.
Wow, mazel tov. That's awesome. So you grew up in a traditional Jewish home. Did your family ever tell you anything about Jesus?
I was never told anything bad about Jesus. Probably mostly I learned from school. I learned some general religious history. Okay, I thought of Jesus. I thought of the Catholic Church. Or maybe I thought of, the Protestant Reformation when I learned about that in high school. As far as my family, I was always taught to respect people that were Catholic or Protestant, but it was kind of like the home across the street. You know, there was nothing wrong with that home, but you had your own home to live in and they had their home to live in, and you know, you got along as good neighbors.
And Randy, were you ever persecuted or teased because of being Jewish?
I don't think that I really went through that where it was obvious that was the reason. I did recall, however, one or two very minor incidents where somebody in school said it, but it was pretty rare. I think I went to school in the 50s and 60s, and I don't think it was nearly as bad then as it was, you know, even maybe 10 or 15 years previous.
And how would you describe your relationship with the God of Israel as a young Jewish boy?
Well, you know, I was the kind of a person who would wonder. I was always a deep analytical thinker, and I would often look up at a summer sky and kind of wonder if there really, you know, if there really was God, and if there really was all of the things that I heard about from, you know, my Jewish upbringing, which was mostly Old Testament stories. A lot of the same things that Christians would learn in Sunday school, you know, Sunday school stories, you know, except that ours were limited to the Old Testament. And I would wonder if, but one thing I will say my Jewish upbringing did for me. Even when I entered into a time of questioning and wondering if there really is a God, and I did become an agnostic at a certain point in my life around high school time, I figured if there was, he would be along the lines of the Old Testament. I was never drawn into Eastern religion or any, you know, or pantheism or any other form of, any other form of theological thought. I figured if there really was a God, I always had in mind that he would be, you know, God, like we were taught.
So how did a nice Jewish boy from Middletown, New York, become interested in Jesus?
Well, actually, what happened was when I entered college, I was approached by a number of people from Campus Crusade and InterVarsity Christian Fellowship. This was 1969 that I entered the University of Rochester, and for those of you who are into history a little bit, this was the Jesus movement. It was, you know, like maybe the peak of the Jesus movement or close. So there was a lot of heavy discussions going on about religious thought, and it was also the hippie era, and it was in to ask all the heavy questions about life and what's the meaning of life and all of that. So it was kind of a tailor-made situation. I was away from home, so I was kind of on my own. I had a friendly bunch of people to talk with, and I had all the questions. I wasn't buying the Jesus stuff or even really the God stuff, but I loved talking with people who did, because I could question and I could, you know, maybe, as I remember, I was open. It wasn't that I didn't really want to believe. It's just that if I was going to believe, I wanted some substance with it. I didn't want to believe just because, well, this is a nice way for you to live a moral life or something. I wanted to know that I was believing in something that really existed.
So you mentioned the hippie movement. Randy, were you a hippie?
I would say that I was a low-level hippie. I mean,
no
I was
way.
Not the wild kind.
You?
Oh, yes.
You
I had a nice ultraviolet light, and I had and I had the Dayglow posters, and I had some other things we won't necessarily talk about on the air.
You seem so innocent. Say it isn't so. Well, for those of you that have a vivid imagination, fill in the blanks. I just thought you were innocent, Randy.
Well, you can be, you know, you can be innocent and, you know, and still be a little guilty.
Uh-huh. All righty then. So did someone tell you that it's okay to be Jewish and believe in Jesus? Or how did you finally come to the conclusion that he is the Messiah?
Well, actually, for about a year, I was mostly questioning along the lines of God. And, of course, you know, they were telling me, my friends were telling me Jesus comes with the deal. And, in fact, Jesus is the only way.
He is the deal.
Well, that was, I mean, I figured here I am. I got questions if even God is around, let alone the only way being through Jesus. And I also figured that if this were really the case, then why didn't they tell me this in Hebrew school? I mean, it sounds kind of weird saying it now, but back then I kind of figured, you know, I had a very good, solid family. America was doing well, you know, in the post World War II years. I had my questions about institutions, of course, as well. Obviously, I just admitted I was in a hippie movement, but somehow I figured that that when it came to God, I figured if Jesus was for Jews, then you know how come how could this be right and us not know it?
I agree. I had the same feelings myself. So, what was your biggest surprise in finding out the truth?
Well, actually, I should back up a bit. My sophomore year was when I actually did ask Jesus into my life, and the reason I did was I was at a time of frustration. I mean, just there were things in my life that just weren't happening for me, and I was just a little bit depressed. And you know, my friends were telling me, if you accept Jesus, he's got an abundant life. You know, for those of you who are familiar with the Four Spiritual Laws booklet, I had one. And I knew that my life was, you know, okay by relative standards, but I wouldn't characterize it as abundant. And I figured, you know, I'm ready to say the prayer and ask Jesus in because they're telling me that that it'll change. And I figured I had it figured out pretty good. I figured, well, I'll say the prayer. If it's real, I don't care if it's popular or if it's the quote Jewish way. I figure if it's real, I'll find out, and then I'll have something to talk about. And if it's not, I wasted 30 seconds of my time praying a prayer that there was nobody on the other end listening to.
So, did you have something to talk about?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Within 2 weeks.
Do tell.
Within 2 weeks, things started happening in my life. There were just little things that happened where I knew God was around. And I had a very hopeful expectation that things were going to change, and they did. And shortly thereafter, I became, familiar with, stories of people being healed miraculously. I mean, present day, I don't mean just from Scripture. I mean, I found out that this stuff was going on today, and I was... I was open to a whole new world. It was almost like landing on another planet.
How did you feel? Well, maybe we'll talk about that. We'll talk about your space travel in a future show. How did you feel when you found out that the disciples were Jewish?
Well, actually, I had been told. They told me that, and even my freshman year. But somehow that didn't really faze me. I guess I figured. I just figured, and I knew that Jesus was Jewish. And I guess somehow I figured that they had crossed a line and changed or something. I don't even really know what I felt, but it wasn't enough to convince me. The fact that they were Jewish. However, after I became a believer, it did give me support. I then, it did show me that, well, I'm in some pretty good company.
Well, let's back up for a minute, Randy. And this is Ethel Chadwick. If you just turned your radio on, you're listening to Bagels and Blessings. I'm on every Saturday morning at 8 o'clock a.m. And right now I'm speaking with Randy Katz, a nice Jewish boy who found faith in Jesus as his Messiah. Randy, what was the one thing that convinced you that Jesus is the Messiah?
Well, I can tell you that there were a number of things that lent credence to this. I was told that I was made aware of Bible prophecy being fulfilled in the end days. Okay, and one thing I remember, and this was, I believe, before I had even taken the plunge and accepted the Lord. My friends were telling me about the Eastern Gate in Jerusalem being sealed off, and that it would never be entered again until the Messiah would come and enter that gate. Well, the gate has been sealed off for centuries, and there have been different attempts to go through there, and they've all failed for one reason or another. King Hussein tried to go through, and just before he was going to do it, they lost in the Six-Day War, and of course Jerusalem came out the winner. So things like that, got me thinking that, there's some supernatural evidence here. This is, man couldn't have cooked this up. So it was the kind of the thinking, if this stuff in the Bible is true, the rest of it's got to be true, too.
Sounds good to me. Now, Randy, one of the things I always ask guests who, like you, were raised in a Jewish home and found faith in Yeshua as their Messiah, how did your family feel about their nice Jewish boy becoming a believer in Jesus? I got to hear this.
Oh, well, that's certainly a very, very good question. Okay, I can't answer for my father because, unfortunately, he had passed on about 4 years previous to my decision. He had lung cancer, and, I just have to leave his fate with God. But I can answer for my mother. Naturally, my mother was upset, as one might expect. But we've always had the type of a family environment of live and let live. Naturally, she thought that I was, she reminded me that I was a born Jew. And, of course, I didn't need to be reminded of this. But, to her way of thinking, which I understand, since I had just wrestled through it myself, this was something foreign. And what's worse, it was something equated with, unfortunately, persecution of Jewish people in the name of Christ. But that's a whole other story. That's a whole other topic. But even with her being upset and all of that, and my sister kind of wondering even what, you know, I have one sister, no brothers. They still, you know, they still respected my, you know, that I have the right to choose. After all, I was in college now, and this is a very good reason why I strongly advocate the support of college, you know, ministries, because this is a key time when people are enough, you know, out from being, you know, just under their parents' roof, so to speak, and it's before they get caught up in a lot of the things in the world, you know, career and all of that. This is a very, very key time to reach people, and I'm living proof of that. But anyway, it was also, of course, the hippie era, as I alluded to earlier, and people were doing all kinds of things that were not the norm. So maybe some of that played into it as well, the feeling of, okay, you know, people are into all sorts of stuff, and you know, you have the right to choose as long as, of course, you don't, you know, quote, hurt somebody.
Let's not hurt anybody. One thing I just wanted to mention is the word convert. People have said to me, oh, you're converted. And we still consider ourselves Jewish, but we've had a heart conversion. And they refer to that even in Deuteronomy. I forget the exact reference, but the foreskin of our heart has been circumcised. And it's a conversion of heart. So when anybody says to me, oh, you've converted, I always tell them, well, my heart is converted. I mean, don't you feel the same way?
Absolutely. But again, I reiterate, if you're ever talking particularly to those who are not believers, never refer to a Jewish person who's made a decision, as I have and Ethel has, as one who's converted. Because to a Jewish ear, conversion does not mean the conversion of the heart. To a Jewish ear, the word conversion is a historic term that has to do oftentimes with the forced conversions connected with the Spanish Inquisition or other times of Jewish persecution. It refers to converting as in changing one's heritage and joining another heritage, and that's a very, very different meaning than the Bible meaning. So you may say it's just semantics, but communication is everything. And if you want to win people, you do need to use the right, you do need to be sensitive to these things.
I'm glad you mentioned that, Randy, because one of the scriptures that really helped me when I first became a believer in Yeshua is Matthew 5:17, where Yeshua, and again, that's the Hebrew way to say Jesus, that is his Hebrew name. Yeshua said, I came to fulfill the law and the prophets, not to change them. He never intended to change religions, and I always think that that's really important, don't you?
Absolutely, and it's true. Yeshua, Jesus, never took away the law. He fulfilled it in a sense of he showed its deeper meaning, what it's really all about.
Now, you mentioned before healings. I'm putting you on the spot, but have you personally experienced any healing since you've become a believer?
Yes, I have. I can recall one such incident. I was in a prayer meeting, and they prayed for me, and I guess I had a minor spinal misalignment. It was, you know, I wasn't even aware I had it, but they had me put my arms, extend my arms in front of me for like the straightening out of my spinal column. And they prayed, and they had me put my hands together, and, you know, nobody touching me. I just extended my hands straight out in front of me, put them together, and they didn't really line up exactly. And then they prayed over me, and this was maybe there was about 30 people in the room, 30, 40 people praying, and of course, the leader of the prayer group. Again, nobody touching me, certainly not in the area of my arms and hands. And I just kind of felt myself moving a little bit, and there was nobody touching me, you know, and I was just kind of relaxed. And then I put my hands together and I lined up.
Wow, God really did something in your body.
And I've seen the same thing done with legs, you know, many other people, and of course I've observed, you know, people being healed of much more than that.
Well, that raises an interesting point. For those of you listening to the program today, and maybe you think that the Bible is just full of stories and that miracles were for years and years and years ago and healings took place years and years and years ago. And what Randy is telling you and what I'm telling you is that, and he alluded to this earlier, is that the Bible is true. They're not just stories. And these miracles are still happening today, and God is still healing people today.
Absolutely. And you know, unfortunately, and I say this very strongly, we live in a culture where there's been much throwing out of the baby with the bathwater. There's been a lot of unfortunate events where, you know, where televangelists or other religious figures have done things, you know, that were not scrupulous.
Not kosher.
And people have a tendency to think because there are some high profile people who have, you know, done, you know, used Christianity or healings or something like that as a way to make money, they figure that, you know, that it, therefore it's all false. Well, that's not true. I mean, there are, you know, you read in the newspapers when a doctor does something wrong or a lawyer does something wrong or anybody does something wrong, but that doesn't mean that you won't go to a doctor or you won't go to a lawyer if you need one. And in the same way, we should really be this, you know, I stand as proof that, you know, that there are legitimate ministers and legitimate people who pray, and you know, they don't claim to do the healing, but people get healed. And that's one of the ways you know, by the way, if it's genuine or not. A person who really has a valid healing ministry, they're not going to point to themselves. They're going to point to Jesus.
Amen.
And they're not going to claim that they had the power to heal. They'll just claim that they prayed for you, you know, or made a proclamation. But they always give the credit for the actual healing to God.
Absolutely. Well, Randy, we're almost out of time. And in the few minutes that we have left, I wondered if you would just share, for the person who is listening to the program today, and maybe they're Jewish and they don't yet believe that Jesus is the Messiah, and they're gonna say to you, how do you know that you know that you know that he is the Messiah?
Well, for one thing, there are many prophecies in the Old Testament that point to him. One of my favorites is Isaiah 53.
He was
wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement for our peace fell upon him, and by his stripes we were healed. You can read it in its entirety, Isaiah 53, and this will be in any Jewish Bible. If you have a Bible laying around that you were given for your bar mitzvah, a Tanakh, you will have this scripture. But what's interesting is this scripture, there are weekly readings in a synagogue that are selected from the Torah, which is the first five books, Genesis through Deuteronomy, and then there's the Parsha, which is read from the rest of the Old Testament, okay? But conveniently, Isaiah 53 is normally not read. Even if you were to go to synagogue every Sabbath, which most Jewish people don't, but even if you were one of the religious people that did, and more likely than not, you would never hear Isaiah 53 read. You'd hear Isaiah 52, you'd hear Isaiah 54, and the readings skip around, so it's not consecutive. So you might not notice the gap. But I don't really know all of the historic reasons why this is not read, but it is. It's not been taken out. It is in your bona fide Hebrew Society or whatever, whoever the publisher is. Now, if you look in any Tanakh, the Jewish, you know, Jewish Old Testament or First Testament, as I prefer, Isaiah 53 is in there.
Very good, Randy. Well, for the minute we have left, is there any special thing you'd like us to be praying for you?
Yes, I would like to like prayer for just for God to God's direction and continuing opening of opportunity in my life. I feel that I'm at a very strategic time in my life. I'm 55. I feel like I'm basically doing the things I'm supposed to be doing, but I feel like I'm on the threshold of, you know, some greater things that God has for me, and I'd like for all of that to take place the way it should.
Praise God. I really thank you for being my guest today, Randy, and it's great to have you as a friend. I mean, Randy and I are sort of growing up together. We've known each other since our 30s, I think.
Well, mid 70s anyway. We were involved with the birthing of the Messianic movement in Rochester, New York, the first Messianic congregations. So
those were the days. We go way back. Well, I pray the Lord's blessing over you, and I am very blessed to have you as my friend.
And I'm very blessed to be your friend.
So I will just continue to fellowship with you in this life, but I know that I'll also see you in heaven.
And that is one nice thing about all this. You get to spend forever with each other.
Sounds good to me, so it's a good thing we like each other. And that's my interview with Randy Katz. And now I know that it was almost 10 years ago. Man, time flies when you are having fun. And one correction, it was pre-recorded, and you might have heard me say Saturday mornings at 8 o'clock, because I used to be on the air at 8 o'clock on Saturday mornings, but of course now I'm on the air at 2 o'clock. And I want to say congratulations to Norman. He called with the right answer. I said true or false. Love your neighbor as yourself is one of the Ten Commandments, and he knew it was false. Come on now. Let's hear it for Norman. Mazel tov. He's going to get a coupon for bagels. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Next week, I won't be here in the studio. I'm going to pre-record my program. It'll be all about mothers. But I want to thank you guys for listening today. And remember the things that Randy shared. You know, we know that we know that we know that Yeshua is the Messiah. Look in your Jewish Bible. There are so many scriptures that point to Yeshua. I mean, even Jeremiah 31:31, it says that he will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and that they will know him in their hearts. Psalm 22 describes a crucifixion, and it even says they have pierced my hands and feet. Oh my goodness, there's so many more. Isaiah 9:4, unto us a son is born. But right now, you know what? It's time for the Aaronic Benediction with Phil Klein.
Yivarechech Adonai v'yismorecha Yair Adonai panav alecha v'ikunecha Yisa Adonai Paravalecha V'yasem lecha Shalom.
And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. This is Ethel Chadwick saying Shalom Aleichem, peace be with you. And remember, every day of your life is an opportunity to be a blessing to someone. I hope you have a great week and happy Mother's Day in advance. Like I said, I won't be here live in the studio next week, but please listen. There'll be great music, lots of talk about mother, I'm telling you. So you be blessed, be a blessing, and I will be back on the air in 2 weeks. Shabbat Shalom!